Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blue Shirt Underground. Awesome.
This is an unlawful gathering. This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers. And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. 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 This is New York Rangers.
Yeah. Jimmy, are you doing something? Can you hear us?
He didn't see my message that said, go ahead and kick us off.
I was on another website. Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to a sunny Philadelphia. A nighttime in New York. I'm here in New York, and Jim is over there in Mesa, in your face, Arizona.
Over here now.
I'm over here now. And I'm sorry about that little thing. I was on another website. I wasn't even where I was supposed to be. Now I see the message. Anyway, what a great evening it is, ladies and gentlemen, as our New York Rangers were victorious last night. Oh, and what a beautiful game it was, or what it ended, how it ended. Right there, Buzzy?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Okay. Everyone. Sorry, I'm just trying to get something up a little loaded for the show, everybody, so bear with me for a second there.
So, anywho, anywhere, anyhow, we had a Marion Gaborik goal in the waning seconds of overtime that beat the New York Islanders, sent the great John Tavares packing. Man, Sam was gushing all over JT last night, saying he's one of the top centers in the game. The overstating was abound last night. And some two games before, which weren't so good, the loss of the Chicago Blackhawks with Ray Emery in net. And I don't know, that game was a total shit parade, followed before by the shit circus that was in town, the game against Ottawa. And what got me is, before I get to Jim and see what he's up to and how he feels, the two games previous were just pretty much how we left you, that we thought that me and Jim and a lot of the underground faithful thought that the Rangers are just not playing well. So hopefully last night's victory will give them kind of a spark, a turnaround, and, you know, good things happen when John Scott doesn't play. That's basically what happens. And we mentioned Matt Zuccarello last week, and, you know, Gandalf did a little wave of his wand, and the Norwegian Hobbit is back up from the well and looking good on the power play. He looked good last night, Jim.
Yeah, I thought he played a terrific game. And, you know, just for lack of a better term, the energy that he brought to it when he was on the ice, you know, the power play looked better. Of course, the game was, you know, there were 15 minutes into the first period, I think, before he got to see the ice, you know, skating with the great Mike Rupp and Fedotenko, I guess. Let's give him every chance to succeed, of course.
Well, I don't have a problem with it right off the bat. I think that's how Hagelin started. you know, although MZA's, you know, got 40 or 50 games up with the Rangers under his belt, you know, give him a little look. Get him, you know, the defensive thing down. You know, get make sure Tortorella likes him with what he's doing without the puck. And then, you know, as he progresses, let's see if he can move up some lines like Hagelin did.
Progresses.
Yeah.
He's going to be back in Connecticut in 3 days.
Why?
I don't know.
That's what we said about John. That's what we said about John Scott, though. We didn't ever thought John Scott was going to make it.
Oh, I mean, even Larry Brooks. I think Larry's listening to the show. So good evening, Larry. I'm befuddled how John Scott, an earnest enough fellow who was willing for sure, has somehow become the 13th forward in the organization.
That's good. Dancing Larry Brooks with some comedy there. Yeah.
All right. You want to see if this clip works?
Yeah. Let's go ahead.
All right. this is the last night. The Sam Rosen on the Gabbert goal. I don't know why. I love this call.
Score! Rangers win.
He was out of his mind.
He was.
After all the Tavares and that P.A. Cameltoe love. Oh. Let me tell you something. It's Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, and P.A. Cameltoe. Those are the three players I now hate most in the NHL. He's a scumbag.
Now, are you referring to the Derek Stepan hooking of the throat and then with that towel and the whole thing? It was like wrestling last night.
I was just going to say, it's exactly like wrestling. You know, he's out cold. You know, here come the trainers.
Right.
Here comes the ambulance. Here comes the MASH unit. B.J. Honeycutt running on the ice with Loretta Swit to make sure he's okay. You know, I mean, come on. And then all of a sudden, there he is. Next shift, he's fine. The Islanders must have Benny Hinn on the bench healing people. Ocpozo, he's another one. He goes, oh, he's hurt, Sam. Look at him limping to get off the ice. He's crawling. He's pulling a Willis Reed as he gets off the ice. Oh, he can barely make it. This is the most painful thing I've ever seen. Oh, there he is. Next shift, he's fine.
Well, we all have. That's part and parcel. They do ham it up. In that play, there was a lot of things that went on. Tortorella's reaction, I immediately said, I hope he doesn't have children. Because did you see his reaction? He was so angry. If I was his kid, and I would be afraid to tell Tortorella I got a C in a class. He'd be like, maintain your case support! I mean, he would freak out. I mean, you know, he's really, he was the epitome of hot-headed Ginzo. And I can say that because I'm three-quarters Italian. He really was.
Trigonometry is a tough class, but don't shit your pants on it.
Exactly. Don't shit your pants here. You babysit your little brother. I mean, you know, he just... He was... he had the teeth out. I thought he was going to... yeah, I mean, he was gonna kill somebody. And then... You were talking about Sam with a good call, and that was a good call. And
the Tortsmanian Devil.
The Tortsmanian Devil. That's what he was. You're right. That's good. Who came up with that? It was you.
Yeah, can you believe it?
No, I can believe it. I don't know. So with that, and then Sam's call on a Tavares goal? What the hell? He was like Linda Blair. Like, you know, Father Merrin, the exorcist, walks into the house, and the devil knows, the demon knows he's there, and the demon goes, Merrin! This was like when Tavares goes, he goes, Tavares! What was he doing on that?
Yeah,
I
he definitely needed his secrets all night long.
Oh, my Lord.
Somebody get Sam a Ricola.
Like, turn into the Cookie Monster there for a second. Cookie Tavares. And I want to say, yeah, and I thought we got hosed by the referees pretty much, but then they called a penalty on the Islanders on for who got the penalty there? Was that I think it was Banana Harmonic.
Phil Harmonic?
The Banana Hammock. Harmonic. He got the penalty, I think, tripping up Richards.
Yeah.
And Richards had a hell of a game, folks. Again, what do you have, 2 goals and an assist?
Yep.
And when they say his goal totals, you don't get, like, you know, a lot of Radio fans, I think, were starting to kind of wonder, has Bradley been worth it? You know, kind of maybe having second thoughts about him. But when they say his goal totals, it's not that, it's pretty good. You know, what did he have, 22 goals, I think, 21, 22?
21 goals, 29 assists, 50 points.
I think, you know, people were expecting around 70, 80 maybe. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, 80 would, you know, anywhere between 70 and 80 would fall more in line with the rest of his career. But, you know, they've got him play. He's playing in this defensive system. It's defense first. You know, it's not – and anybody that's – when people say, oh, he's played for Tortorella before. Yeah, but they didn't – Tampa Bay didn't play this style. This is, you know, it used to be safe as death. Now it's safe as safe. This is a defensive first team.
Offense is death.
Shooting is death. What did you think of the fans last night chanting shoot the puck?
Well, they didn't listen to them, so that shows you how much they care. I mean, you know, Les, I'm all for the fans vocalizing, but that's all they ever yell anyway. No one ever yells pass. Did you ever hear people yell pass, pass, except for this idiot right here, me? I'm the only one yelling pass to count as a shot. No, I thought it was a pretty good chant. I mean, listen, but they weren't going to listen, you know, and they didn't. And, you know, it worked out in the end, you know, with that 4-on-3 what is it, like 20 seconds left in overtime? That was a big emotional win. The Garden was really loud, especially in the third and in the overtime. It was fantastic. So I hope this emotional win will get them going back in the right direction. You know, this was a big emotional victory for them. And also, you know, we can't discount the Rangers' funk because I still think they're in a funk until I see a couple games in a row. You know, it was due to some injuries. I mean, Callahan's hurt again. Delzato's out. These are guys that have been there all year. Callahan certainly has been all Ranger. I mean, he's, you know, he leads, he hits, he scores. So it's a big loss for them not to have him. But hopefully things are getting turned around in the right direction. Now, I just wanted to ask you now, why are you so, what's all the hatred for P.A. Parenteau? I mean,
he's just a douchebag. No, I like Camel Toe better than Pap Smear. He's just a, first of all, he totally faked that injury. And then, was it on Prust or something? I don't know. Just a real cheap hit, I thought, he threw last night. I don't like him. I don't like him. And I get sick of hearing Sam and Joe gush over him. So you put it all together, and that's P.A. Camel Toe.
Yeah, they gush over everybody.
He's going to be a free agent. He's not going to re-sign with the Islanders, and he's going to go to somewhere like Toronto or Ottawa or the Wild, and he'll score 8 goals next year and have 12 assists. He'll go to Minnesota and play with Eric Christensen, who had 2 goals last night, by the way.
I saw that with caused a little discourse in the group. I think Nick, who was a fan of Eric Christian, she was just putting that up there just to, you know, just let people know. He doesn't really, I don't think he's losing any sleep that Erica Christensen's not on this team anymore.
No, he's not.
Although, I had to say, he's better than John Scott. But anyway, good riddance to bad garbage. Anyway, so that was that game. I mean, and how about that Nabokov with that glove?
Oh, what a he's real courageous. throws the punch, waits for three of his teammates to show up, and that guy couldn't skate. He did Eric. He was like Eric Heiden getting off the ice.
Yeah, he ran off. I mean, he just skated as fast as he could. You're right, Eric Heiden did. And
there he goes.
There he goes. Do you think the Rangers should have done something there?
They did what was most important. They won.
How lucky were the Islander goals?
Oh, that one, the Molson goal?
Molson goal? Oh.
That was bounces off the... And it was funny because before the game, you remember, did you hear Sam say, or I don't know, maybe it was early in the game, Sam said to watch out for some odd bounces because the Knicks had played there earlier. And then sure enough, the Rangers, it bites him in the ass. They get that goal, bounces off the glass, and right in front, hits off Henrik's foot.
And
in.
Now, let me pose this to you, my friend, and to the chat room and the podcast at large. Would you agree with me if I said that Henrik Lundqvist has not been superb of late?
I would definitely say it about last night's game. He was un-Henrik last night. If Joe notices it, you know it's got to be obvious. He said he was fighting it last night. And that's probably a good way to put it, although I think it's another one of those dumb sports terms. Like, he's scuffling out there.
Okay, how about this? I pose this question to you, my friend Jim.
Okay.
Is Marty Biron a complete sieve? All right, okay.
I don't know what's going on.
I won't go that extreme.
Okay.
I'm going to go with, has Marty, the real Marty Biron, finally shown up? No. Oh, wait, let me go away. I don't know. do you feel the Rangers have to play much harder in order to get a win when Marty Biron is in net?
The way he's playing lately, yes. Yes. I didn't always think that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he's played lately, he played well in Carolina. He played well in that game. The Islander game, he didn't play that well. The Chicago game, he got off to a bad start, and that's what killed him in that game. The rest of the game, he kept him in it for the most part.
That's the only thing I see that, and again, with Biron, he's not going to see any playoff time. So, he's played very well this year. It's hard to, but I am of the feeling now that he's struggling big time. It is also a result of the Rangers as well, giving up the puck way too much. In the Chicago game, they turned the puck over at critical times. Ottawa, every goal is like a critical mistake. They can't clear the goddamn zone. It's driving me nuts. I don't care who it is. Everybody gets, Ranger palsy when they're trying to clear it up the freaking boards. It just doesn't get out. It's driving me nuts. So, go ahead.
No, well, I just wanted to say, how many teams can say how many teams have a backup goaltender that's 11-4-2? With two shutouts.
Well, if I'm going to blame him for the team, back, I have to give it more, it's a team effort. I mean, the guy, when he wins as well. Now, I'm not saying Biron didn't play well. I gave him credit. Didn't I do my whole renouncing of hate, not thinking he was a good goalie? I was turned around. And now, the only problem I see right now is he can't keep the puck out early in the game. And the Rangers are terrible when they get off to a bad start because they can't score, can't score. And I don't want to get all negative after the big win last night, but that's been indicative. And then when they do have a lead in the third period and they come back and even it up, they've been blowing it in the third period. So I guess it is a result of a team. I need him to play better early on. That's my only thing with him. Because he does play later. As the game goes on, he plays better. There's no doubt about it.
And, I'm going to say two things that are probably may or may not be the popular opinion, but and let's face it, the way, as great as this season has been, and this has been a great season. I mean, you know, we've talked about the numbers and where they're on pace for, but, you know, they get down two goals and, you know, you're chiming the bells. You know, you're like, how are they ever going to come back from two goals down? That's the way it kind of feels lately. And last night, that you know, Henrik wasn't at his best last night. I think the Islanders only had, what was it, like 17 shots on goal, 18 shots on goal?
Something like that, yeah.
And just the way he was playing last night, I didn't want to see that game get into a shootout. It just wasn't his best night. You know, most nights I'll take him in a shootout against anybody. I just felt like last night was one of those nights where I did not want to see that game get into a shootout. With that, I just didn't.
Yeah.
I did not want that game to get into a shootout, despite the fact that Zuccarello was back.
Right. I mean, because he is somewhat of an equalizer in the shootout. I think everybody's just kind of going through a funk right now. I don't know what it is. And I really wasn't thinking about the shootout too much. I couldn't believe they got three power play goals. What are we, third now in the league in power plays? Did we move up? Or where are we going, from 29 to 3? I doubt it. I think the Rangers, I think hopefully this will be an emotional lift for them. I hope so. Get him back on track.
Cutter is talking about TSN is asking if there should be more teams in the playoffs. And the overall consensus is no. Cutter, why are they asking that? So that the Leafs could get in?
Yeah, is that the only way the Leafs can make it?
We had four or five more playoff teams. Maybe the Leafs get in. Maybe the Leafs could fight the Islanders for the 13th seed.
Oh, yeah, that'd be the Islanders. Oh, the great Islanders.
Now, let me ask you another question since we're on topic of OT and shootouts. The GMs are getting ready to meet. And apparently one of the discussions is going to be extending the overtime by 5 minutes and then making the second 5 minutes of overtime a 3-on-3 instead of 4-on-4. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, I think they should just decide the game by a shootout. Everybody shows up, we get in our seats, and it's a 20-minute shootout. And whoever has the most goals at the 20 minutes wins. I mean, what are they screwing with this game for? This is not a – what, are we going to have a Texas strap match now or a cage match?
I mean, what's that? I like that. Hey, that's why they got John Scott. Glenn Sanders is going to vote for
that
Texas
strap match.
Steel cage. I'm sure they still got a steel cage laying around the garden somewhere.
I mean, this is just nonsense. 3-on-3. And then it's just going to end and go to a shootout? I mean, they should just, I don't know, just don't tinker with it. I'm a purist, you know, I don't want to come off as a Bob Costas type who, you know, thinks everything that they tinker with the game is an abomination, but.
Who don't mess with the game?
And I don't like it. I don't know what you feel. How do you feel about it?
Well, let me put it this way. And when this rumor first came out, it was probably about 4 months ago. And I think Paulie, when Paulie used to call into the show, I think he mentioned it. Check out Instigators Hockey on Blog Talk Radio. I think he brought it up. And I said, I just said, it's too gimmicky. There's too many gimmicks, and I said, you know, what's next? I went the silly route. Well, for some reason that makes Texas strap match serious. But I said, well, they just play Uno at center ice and settle
right.
It that way. If the focus, if the reasoning to extend the shootout, extend OT and go 3-on-3, the idea behind it is to lessen the effects of the shootout, then I'm all for it. I like watching the shootout. It's exciting. I bite my nails through it like everybody else, but I hate the fact that that's what it comes down to decide a game. So personally, I don't understand why they just can't play 10 minutes. Why they're so scared to play 10 minutes of 4-on-4 hockey or even 15. I don't understand why they do it, why they're so afraid of it. But if it's got to be another 5 minutes at 3-on-3 as opposed to
I don't know
5 minutes and go right to a shootout, I'm all for it. It's the lesser of two evils to me.
I guess that's the way I feel. I don't know. I mean, does 4-on-4 in for that 5 minutes really be? Is it that wide open? I don't see it as a revolutionary thing that they thought it was going to be. That it was going to be up and down, so much more room. I mean, there it's a little bit like that, but we see a lot of shootout games. So obviously, that's not happening. That's why they want to have less shootout games.
And so, here's my other question. Let me get your opinion on this. Let's say they go this route, right? 4-on-4 for 5 minutes, and then 3-on-3. Now, presumably, because I haven't seen anything that says otherwise, if a team gets a penalty, they'd have to play 2-on-3, right?
Yeah.
So what would that do to the style of? Although with the ice opened up because there's only 3-on-3, that may not be a factor. But what would it do to the way teams play those 5 minutes at 3-on-3 to avoid possibly having to play 3-on-2? You understand? Does that make sense? Would you see
right.
a real conservative? Let's just get through these 5 minutes. I'll take my chances in the shootout rather than taking a penalty or doing anything stupid.
I think. Butman would probably tell the referees, give them an edict. Listen, unless somebody takes a gun out, an AK-47, and shoots somebody on the ice, there's going to be no 3-on-2s. I think it's stupid. It's more adding on. They should be taking back, as far as I'm concerned. We've got to get back to what the. Again, I guess it's just what I grew up with. It's just. I mean, I kind of like the shootout more than I did than before, but it's still, I mean, we didn't make the playoffs 1 year because of it.
Right.
It's still got a sore spot for me.
And the other reason is this team's not, the Rangers aren't built to, it's not a shootout savvy team. You know, I feel like if this game goes to a shootout, we're at a severe disadvantage. As far as scoring goes, if a team gets a lucky goal or two off Henrik, it's all over.
I know. The Rangers certainly are not built for shootouts at this point. Just another strange thing, changing gears here for a second. Now, the Rangers haven't been giving up many shots on goal either. And they've been losing. It's weird. It's a weird thing. And the teams have been scoring quickly. Which hasn't happened all year. You know, Ottawa, they'll get two goals right away. Chicago, two goals.
Devils got a goal right away, didn't they?
Yeah.
Devils get a goal a minute in.
When you're a fan, it's shocking. Because they go periods without giving a goal or getting a goal. And then the other team gets a goal real quick or gets two goals quickly, and you're like, holy shit, how are we going to get two goals now? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, who does Carl Hagelin have to blow pop to get on the power play?
Hagelin.
Tell me about that. So, anyway, yes. Well, that's for the GMs. Are they having a big GM meeting? What's going on? Is Sather going to go?
Well, if he's awake. Yeah, I think it's coming up in West Palm Beach, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, and Paulie's
coming up soon. Wow. Oh, I'm sure they'll be broadcasting live. Instigators Radio, Hockey Fan Radio on Blog Talk Radio.
Best hockey program on the air, Kotze says.
That's what I hear. But you know what? You know what? You know what, though?
What?
They're not one of the best.
Why?
Well, because I can prove it. We got official word from Blog Talk Radio over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. We're big. Oh, we're big, from what Jim tells me.
So, here, we'll talk about this really quick.
So, if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
Paulie, what are you doing? Ain't you got a show? Oh no, it's Monday. I just, you know, I forgot what night it was. He's
head
on Wednesdays.
Hits. Any head hit.
Thank you, Paulie. Okay, so for those of you that were here last week, you know we had, I don't know, what was it, 10 minutes of dead air?
Yeah.
That was Wednesday night. Thursday morning, I went and looked at the numbers for the show, and we actually had about three times the amount of live listeners for that show than we normally do. So, and so it pissed me off even more having all this dead air, because that to me that meant that a lot of people may have been listening to us for the first time, and what they heard was 10 minutes of dead air. And we know that the Rangers, we know the brass listens to this show. We know it. So yeah, it just, it looks real bad. We know they have a good laugh at our expense when, you know, there's technical difficulties. But then when I saw how the listeners were, how many listeners we had last week live, it really pissed me off, because like I said, it means a lot of people just heard dead air for the first time they were listening. So I went into the Blog Talk Radio forum. They have a forum where people can ask questions or lodge complaints or whatever. So I typed out a very long complaint, you know, expressed some concerns, and I told them that, you know, what happened when I signed into the live chat that they have for the hosts, about how the girl just said broadcasting on what, the whole bit. Yes, Mandar, I know, I'm taking time out of your
phone. Everybody's like, what? Yep.
I'm taking time out of Mandar's phone call. So so I got an email from the director of operations for Blog Talk Radio, how she saw my complaint in the forum and wanted to discuss it. So I talked to her over the weekend, and basically what happened was the servers crashed for Blog Talk Radio, and there were 10 or 15 shows that were on the air at the time, and they all crashed. And everybody went to technical support, and this girl was overwhelmed, and basically she was stalling. So they apologized for the concern. They took care of us on the financial end for a couple of months. And then she happened to inform us that Blue Shirt Underground Radio is one of the top sports shows on the network in terms of audience, podcasts, the whole bit. And that's thanks to you guys.
We all know your nose is growing right now, too, there, Pinocchio.
No, I'm sorry to tell you, Paulie, that's not true. Look at my chat. Look at our chat room and look at yours, Paulie.
Wow. We all know your nose is growing right now, too, there, Pinocchio.
Well, what they said, well, first they stood us up on Saturday night, right? Or Friday night.
Yeah, she had a...
We were ready to Skype in and... And I, you know, we're taking time out of our wild lifestyles here to talk to this woman, and it turns out she did talk to Jim. And anyway, it turns out like there are different types of shows. Like there's shows that like that Deepak Chopra garbage
right.
show. Like, you know, they have a whole like media team and a marketing team that works for them, and they're in like a total higher level than we are.
Right.
But
Just in case people, if you guys look on the Blog Talk Radio website, you'll see there's different levels of membership, and there's one of them that I think is $2,500 a month, and you have like they're a client. There's, and like Eddie said, they have a marketing team. This show has a marketing team of two people. One is me,
yeah,
and one is Eddie. We are the marketing team.
You know. Plus the word that goes around Twitter and Facebook. And yes, that's it. But she said that consistently we have the most listeners of any show, I think, within our, like, membership.
Sports.
We have, by far, consistently over the years, she said, you know, sometimes people have a special guest, and the numbers go up. But ours has been like consistently over the 3 years or whatever we've been doing it for. So now that we've tooted our horn and the braggadocio is over, we just want to say thank you. You guys are the ones who do it. I mean, you know, it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Never thought it would get this big, and it's really, I appreciate it a lot.
So do I. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
We love you. Good night.
We love you. So what do we got?
You ready to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's see what the people have to say.
All right. Mr. Chandler, how are you, sir?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight, man?
We're doing good. Doing good.
That's good.
What's on your mind?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of had a feeling that we were going to lose to that Chicago game after watching the first two games, honestly, just because of the way they were playing. And to me, we got a team with a lot of guys who don't know how to play with a guaranteed playoff spot. So they got a little lax. To me, they relaxed a little bit is what it looked like. They just relaxed, and they were half a step slow, and there was no energy because, you know, if you're not used to winning and not used to having a guaranteed playoff spot, where's the sense of urgency to maintain it is what it looked like to me. And until things got tight, then we saw, you know, in the Chicago game, a little better effort, in the Islander game, a better effort still. You know, and everybody's been screaming, where's Brad Richards? There was Brad Richards, you know, the other night. And, you know, as I said, I think I tweeted it, the first person I hear, I swear to God, scream about, we need to go get P. We never should let P.A. Parento go, man. I'm going to come to your house and fucking kneecap you. Because nobody was saying that when the guy was here. So I don't want to hear all this revisionist history about P.A. Parento like he's the fucking second coming. All right? The guy's a decent player on an Islander team that not for nothing, if they were a better team, he wouldn't be getting the ice time he's getting. Okay? So
he would be in the minors.
Yeah, he wouldn't. I mean, come on.
On a decent team. No, you're right about it. I can't believe people actually are saying, oh, that's the type of player we need. I found that person. But I'm sure there are people out there. There are people out there, Chandler, that were saying, oh, John Scott's playing. I'd rather have Avery. Why did they get rid of Avery? And
good God. Oh,
I know. You have to squash that nonsense right away.
Yeah, I mean, and you know I'm a big Sean Avery fan. His time passed here with this organization, man. You know, you can't no team has ever won a Stanley Cup that went 82-0 or 85-0. No, there's never been an undefeated hockey, never been an undefeated professional franchise. Well, other than football, but you know, it's only 16 games. Let them play about 20 games, nobody's gonna be undefeated. But I mean, come on, so guess what? We lost some games. For the second time all season, we lost three in a row. Ever since, we never lost three in a row. We actually did lose three in a row in the beginning of the season, but they weren't regulation losses. So we had a three-game losing streak. Big fucking deal. Big deal. We had a three-game losing streak. We were comfortably ahead, and we have a young team. What did you think was going to happen? Have people never watched sports before? Do they not watch games? Do they not watch sports? Watching this, you go to any sport and you see a team that has a comfortable lead, what invariably happens? They relax. And they start losing a little bit. Even the 98 Yankees ended the season, what, on like a 7-game losing streak? And they won how many games that year? It happens. Get off the ledge, relax. Take a deep breath.
I certainly was not getting crazy about it. But they certainly started looking like a sloppy team, and they don't look like that ever. You know, that's what was disconcerting to me is they were throwing the puck up the middle, they were making bad choices, and they just kind of looked sloppy out there. And
that's a function of guys not knowing how to play with the lead. Well, I mean, let's be honest. How many guys on this team have been on a team that's been in first place the majority of the season?
Nobody, pretty much. I mean, you know.
So how would they know how to keep that same edge, or that they have to keep the pedal down all the time where everybody's patting them on the back, they're reading the press clippings, everywhere they go, oh, you're going to make the playoffs, you're going to win the conference, it'll take an epic collapse. If you hear that enough, I don't care who you are, you're going to relax. So now, guess what? Now it's tightened up.
I think they may have seen where they were for the first time. And said, holy shit, look where we are. You know, we're, you know, 10, 12 points ahead of the Bruins here. And then all of a sudden realize it may be either relaxed or tensed up, whatever it may be, because of their youth. I mean, they are a very young team. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So.
And, I mean, I don't know. John, the whole John Scott thing, I mean, I kind of agree with most of the people. I mean, Jesus Christ, man. I can understand the first game we got him in because you get a guy, you want to play him. But after that, why in the fuck was this guy ever playing any shift at all?
He's got 5 points in 144 games. Played this guy. Just didn't understand. And we kept saying, "Oh, once Callahan comes back," and then he was still in the lineup. And then it's like, So John Scott's got to be sent down. What do you think about Zuccarello? Quickly.
I love Zuccarello. I don't understand why he wasn't brought up sooner this season. But maybe, you know what, I'm a big nod of torch guy. Maybe this fucking guy actually does know what he's doing because he's pushing the buttons at the right time. He's plugging guys in at the right time. You can't knock what he's done. I mean, he plugged in Stu Bickle. Look how that worked out. He plugged in Strawman. Look how that worked out. So he's plugging the guys in at the right time. I mean, I got to give him credit, man. He's pushing all the right buttons right now. Definitely pushing the right buttons.
Oh, so if we can get that power play going. I can't believe they're 29th in the league.
Well, did you see they finally put Brian Boyle in front of the net? It took them three quarters of the season to finally make Boyle. Did somebody go say to Brian Boyle, go stand in front of the net and don't fucking move? And two of the four goals were a direct result of Brian Boyle being in front of the goalie. Where is this offseason?
Yeah. You know what it is? They don't move around on the power play. They all stand around. I don't know what they're doing. Nobody is moving on that power. I know they got three power play goals, and they still do it, but at least if you got somebody in front of the net, a big, you know, a large, wide body there, I mean, things are going to happen. Why it wasn't done earlier, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's happening now.
So, yeah, and P.A. Parento's on my list of people with fucking Jason Chimera, so.
I'm with you.
Yeah, Chimera and fucking Camel Toe.
Oh my god,
to get a beating.
DA Camel Toe. All right, Chandler. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Man, could you put me back on hold? I'm actually not home right now. I'm still at work. So
I sure can. Thanks.
Thanks. All right.
Okay. All right. Let's put Chandler back on hold. And let's see. Next up, let's go to. Frankie, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
What's going on? Where are you? How's the weather? You got good weather tonight? You all right? You're not out in the rain, are you?
It was 83 today, and Fort Myers Beach is rocking.
Attaboy. A lot of bikinis out or what?
Sorry?
A lot of bikinis walking around or what?
I mean, I have never seen. I mean, I'm from the Jersey Shore and the Hamptons. The girls out here are from Ontario, from Quebec. They're from Michigan, the best-looking girls in the world.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got an all right life there, Frankie.
You know, I'm 65 years old. I've never been out with so many decent-looking girls since I moved down here. It's absolutely incredible.
Look at you. How do you find time to watch all the prospects with all these girls in bikinis walking around? You're out on dates. You're hitting the town. You're like David Niven.
I just go into Google, I watch hockey futures, I do YouTube searches. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff out here, but did you see the Andrew Yogan video on YouTube yet?
Yes, I did. I saw you were asking me about it. I did see that. That was an amazing goal.
I mean, he's a power forward.
Yeah, I know.
How does a power forward skate behind his net and all the way up to an entire team to backhand the puck? I mean, I think this guy is a keeper, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm still waiting for Christian Thomas to get bigger than 5'9", 170.
He's
6'3", 205. And he's got 37 goals this year in the OHL, which is more goals than Christian Thomas. So this is really interesting. And I see that you acknowledge the fact that Michael St. Croix got his 100th point of the season.
Yep, very nice.
And he's a plus 40. And I saw that on Blue Shirt Banter today, they were talking about putting Boyle. Their solution was putting Boyle, Dubinsky, and Hagelin on the second power play. And all this year, the three of them together have 1 point on the power play, And it's funny that Zuccarello in one game has 1 point on the power play. But I don't think Zuccarello would be the solution. You know who's an unrestricted free agent in the off season and probably wouldn't cost a lot, and who's been with the Rangers before, and who Tortorella said is a decent guy and we need to find some time for him? That was the exact quote up for him. You know
right.
who that player is?
Who's that?
Parenteau.
Oh, the hell with Parenteau. I don't want anything to do with that guy anymore.
He has like 45, 50 points this year.
When Enver Leeson was here. He can't make a team when Enver Leeson was here that he shouldn't be on a team now.
Yeah. Well, in any event, next season, if Kreider makes the team and if we move Dubinsky and Kreider does a decent job where we sign an unrestricted free agent forward or trade for a forward, that means one more player off the top six is going on third line, and that's got to be, you know, because that's what happened this year. Hagelin improved, Dubinsky goes to the third line. So I think next season, if Kreider makes it, or if we get an unrestricted free agent forward, top six forward, or we get we trade for a top six forward, that means either Hagelin or Anisimov is probably going to go to the third line. What do you think?
I think you might be right.
I think Kreider is going to play. Kreider is going to make the team. Kreider he will be on the New York Rangers next year for sure. Mark my words.
Top six?
Probably maybe. Won't start at top six, but he'll wind up there.
Well, that's what Hagelin did. Hagelin wasn't top six this year, and all of a sudden it's starting to work his way in there at the expense of Dubinsky.
Now, Frankie, I want to ask you this. What has Tortorella got to get through his head to get Hagelin on the power play? I mean, the kid makes things happen. Why isn't he playing on the power play?
He's probably reached a point in the season where, you know, he's starting to wear down a little.
Hagelin.
He's only like 180 pounds. You know, he's 5'11", like 180, 185. He's not like 185 pounds like Callahan. It's a different 185 pounds. You know, one guy is a hard charger at 185, and Hagelin is just a well-conditioned player who back checks and does everything else. He's not used to playing 80 games in a season. He was team captain at the Michigan Wolverines team. I think I am quite content with him. I thought he should have made the camp the team at the beginning of the season. He didn't, but he has worked his way up to a utility forward, to a legitimate player in the NHL. I think next season he'll be actually better, but I don't know. You know, he's like a fringe top six player. Anisimov is like a fringe top six player if you're going to make him a left wing instead of a center. So I think there's going to be opportunity for a trade to get a top six forward, or we're going to sign a unrestricted free agent, like maybe, I don't even know, unrestricted free agent, or we might go back to the Ryan thing again, you know, the guy from Jersey that's playing for Anaheim. But I think if the expense is going to be Hagelin or Anisimov if Kreider and the other guy comes up, because who do you move to the third line?
Well, I got a feeling that you're going to see some guys be cut loose. And I know a lot of Ranger fans are not going to be happy, but some older players like Fedotenko and...
Well, we already know that. He's a minus eight. He's a minus eight.
Right.
He's
a minus eight, so he's out. So, you know, he'll be gone.
And he's in his 30s, and he makes $1.4 million, you know, so.
Right. So these guys are going to be eventually weeded out.
But Dubinsky's making 3+, and he can't play on a third line making 3+. We saw that with Avery. And I think that Stahl can't be a fifth defenseman making 3.5, whatever he is. And what's with the haters with Strawman? I go into Hockey's Futures on Google, and they still have the basic prospect description of him. And he played 2 years in the Swedish Elite League, like Eriksson, and he did real well. The guy has a decent skill set. He's actually played in the NHL for a couple of years. I mean, the other game against Chicago, he had 7 hits, 3 blocked shots, and he's only 185 pounds. I mean, if Staal had that kind of game, it would be all over the New York Post and all over Blue Shirt Banter, because Stallman does it at 185 pounds. It's not even a little asterisk, you know, on him. That's why I sent that little thing to you that Staal is a big man playing a small man's game.
I thought that was kind of cute. Well, you know what? I do agree with you with Strowman. There should be no Ranger fan hating on Strowman at this point. He's done beyond and above and beyond what we thought he was going to do. He's been steady. He's been fantastic. He's one of the few Rangers that will get the puck at the point and shoot no matter what, ask questions later. I'm all with you on that. I'm not about to throw Mark Staal out. I think Staal is, you know, he's playing with Stu Bickel. I mean, I'm a little, you know, it's a little rough. He's not playing a lot of minutes where I could really make an assessment of whether he's been hitting enough. Because as we remember, pre-concussion, his hitting started to take, he started to really deliver some big hits before that. So we'll see down the line.
Well, I've talked to so many guys that have played football and had concussions, and the turnaround for them was like a couple of weeks. I think guys like Snee and other guys on the Giants have had concussions, and their turnaround time in the NFL was like a couple of weeks. And they, you know, football is just as physical as hockey, you know. So, and you know me, I have the experience with a concussion, and their degrees.
Oh, he's faking it? I mean, Frankie, I think the guy is hurt. I mean, he's recovering. It's going to take a while.
I had a different opinion. I think he used to be a good friend, and he mentioned it early, that he was a good friend of Bugard's, respected him. They both saw the same team doctor. I assume they got the same medication prescribed for their concussion and their pain, pain management. And I think there might have been other issues with Staal.
Okay.
Mm. Tough, huh?
All right, Frankie. Well, listen, we're up against the commercials here. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Sorry, guys.
For what?
Oh, don't be sorry.
Don't be sorry. It's your opinion. You're entitled to it, Frankie.
Exactly.
All right, buddy. Listen, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy those bikinis. Post some pictures on my Facebook wall. We'll talk to you
soon,
bud. Take
care.
Good night, Frank.
I need a minute.
I need a minute. You to gather yourself in?
I need a minute. He started in with that Bugard stuff on my Facebook wall. I'm like, oh, Jesus. And then as soon as he said it tonight, I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I mean, I don't get the whole Mark Staal isn't hitting enough. What is it? He's obsessed with Staal and that Delzato is better than Staal, and everybody's better than Staal, and I mean, he's got to calm down with that stuff.
Oh, God,
that's like a Dixie song.
I was starting to laugh too hard because I was really trying to talk to him there for a minute, and then all I hear is "Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland." And I'm like, well, screw him. If he's going to do it to me, I'm going to do it to him. So I broke out the plate spinning music while you were talking. And then the Tonight Show theme song and everything.
I was like, well, I don't get what the Mark Staal. I think Staal just really hasn't, you know, you don't see him as much because he does. I know his mids had been going up. I don't have him keeping track of it. He's paired with Bickel primarily. I guess he's still playing with Delzato. I don't know what's going on now. Not Delzato, Strowman. I don't know if he's playing with him or whatever. I'm not keeping track.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you know, the idea is to, you know, people in the chat room, and like Mandar said, there's no debating with him. And I don't want to even try. I just want to let Frankie go, do his thing. We all have good time.
I love the comedy, Jim. I love it. But
it's great.
Something we can't say it. We got to call you on it. I mean, I could deal with the Andrew Yogan updates. You know, the Michael St. Croix, the Quad, that guy, and whatever the guy's name is, and all the other updates about the prospects.
and why Anton Strowman is not getting his just cred in the hockey world. What do you think of Stahl? I'm sorry. He's a goddamn assistant captain on this team.
But to be honest with you, at that point, I was laughing so hard that I really wasn't. I was in and out. I was too busy laughing. St. Croix.
He said Tortorella's name in there, too.
Tortorella.
Tortorella. Tortorella. We'll
like
have
a tarantelle.
The tarantella. Anyway. Man.
That's a song, right? Isn't that an Italian wedding song or something? The tarantella?
I don't know if it's... I don't know if that's the tarantella.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. What do I know?
You're only three-quarters Ginzo.
I'm only three-quarters Ginzo. Get Nick in here. And you know what? What's up with Marcy Braverman? I heard she defriended my friend Nick Mack. What could he have possibly said? The guy's the most inoffensive human being I know. Listen, Braverman.
Ask Marcy when she's here.
Anyway. Okay. So anyway, let's get back to the show. What a show. What a show we got here today.
Boy, what a show. Wow. Woo!
That's that. Frankie checks in.
We missed them last week, though.
Well, I am the school of thought that I need to take a break from him.
That's why I purposely didn't tell him we had a show last week. I thought we could. I wanted a week where we didn't have all that.
Because it's all over the place.
Yeah, we get derailed. So. All right, 646-478-4692 is the number if you guys want to call in. I want to hear from Dan tonight. I want to hear from Emily. I want to hear City Hockey Fever. It's been a while since he called in. We're going to get to Mandar in just a second. Hi, C. He's due for a call. Grossman, how about you? How about Justin? Come on, people. Let's go. 646-478-4692. Let's go to Mandar. If I can get the switchboard here. There we go. Just getting on my computer to work. Good evening, Mandar. How are you?
Well, it's good to know that, you know, you got to settle for me since nobody else is going to call in.
That's not true. It's not true at all.
I know.
You're a regular.
See what I said in the chat room? It's like a romper room shout out. I see Dan. I see Emily.
They never said my name, those sons of bitches. That's why I'm all screwed up.
And we didn't win the bike on Wonderama either.
No.
A Wonderama.
Pissed off that banana seat. What was that? What was the name of that bike? What was the brand?
Huffy?
Huffy?
No.
You know, I don't remember it either.
It's killing me. All right. I heard Bob McAllister, though, was a real dick in that fucking show.
I met him.
I think you said this. What went on with Bob McAllister?
Well, he was okay. It was just when I met him, it was, I mean, I guess, let me see, my son was probably around 3 or 4. So this was, I mean, this had to be a good 10, 15 years after Wonderama was off the air and he was doing like this traveling road show at the county fair. At the Ocean County Fair, he did like a show, and it was called Kids Are People Too. And he came out, and he did a few things, and then they sang the song, and Bob was done. And I took my son and a bunch of other people, you know, same deal, parents who had watched Wonderama with their kids, and they went around back, and he was going to come out, sign autographs, talk to people. He comes, now I guess he was just dressed normally for the show, maybe a t-shirt, pair of jeans, whatever. And people are waiting, he comes out of his trailer, and he's just wearing like a pair of Bermuda shorts, a T-shirt that looked like it was 30 years old that said "Kids are people too" on it, black socks, and a pair of Oxfords, and he just looked. I mean, it was really, really depressing. I mean, it's what it was. And I was talking to him, and I said, "You know, I was a big fan. I grew up watching the show," and blah blah blah. And I said, "I remember Max, the guy whose head was in the box." He goes, "Yeah, that was a long time ago." And I'm like, "Okay, Bob, nice to meet you." Walked away. I was like the most depressing. I get more thrills going to see my great grandmother in a hospital in an oxygen tent.
Yeah, me and Mando have a mutual friend or a mutual acquaintance that actually attended a live Wonderama taping.
Really?
And yes, and she said that she had to go to the bathroom while they were taping or between breaks of the taping, and he would not allow her to go. And she was like 5 or 6, something like that.
Jeez.
She said he was a real bastard during the taping. Why are we talking about Wonderama, huh? We should be talking about Spinorama. See how I did that? Oh! Oh, boy. Our listenership just ran for the hills. So Mandar, what do we got from you? Give us a 3-game recap. Where are we now with the New York Rangers?
Well, we got a game. If this 7-game homestand doesn't get us at least 12 out of 14 points, at very least, then they're just going to be a pretender for the rest of the season. It could be an early exit. I mean, you got teams that they got to beat, and they should be able to dictate play. I really thought they outplayed the Islanders last night totally. And I'll tell you what, Nabokov played a great game in net. He really did. I'm not having a problem at all with the way they played last night. But again, they played that team, that Islander team.
Well, yeah, I thought they played a pretty good game against them. They were unfortunate with a couple of the bounces and things that happened. They held them pretty much in check the whole game. I tell you, that fight within that game, that guy Haley can throw him. I mean, Bickle was game, but he took some. It was impressed to Bickle. It was Bickle, wasn't it? Yeah, he took some nice shots. That Haley. I don't know why I'm talking about the Islanders. But anyway, you're right. I think a lot of Ranger fans are concerned because now Pittsburgh has closed the gap.
The team won 9 in a row, and they're supposed to have Crosby back on Thursday against the Rangers. 9 in a row, and they're beating good teams. Well, that's fine for Pittsburgh. That's just fine. You know, they're a good team, and they've done. I mean, I got to tell you what, Bylsma, that guy is some coach. I mean,
he really is.
You can't.
With those injuries that he's had, and to just game in and game out with that team, you know, even when they lose, they don't get blown out. I mean, they're always in it. They were a lot. You know, they're playing their defensive style now. They're playing a lot like the Rangers were playing when it was all together. So it'll be a good litmus test to see what's going on there on Thursday. You know. The Penguins don't play again until then. The Rangers play tomorrow against the Canes, but it's going to be really that's going to be the test. That's going to be the test. If the Rangers win that game, I tell you, I believe they win the conference. If they don't win against Pittsburgh, then we're looking at a 4 seed, probably, in my opinion.
4th seed in the conference.
Yes.
Really.
Well, they if they finish in second place in the division, they'll be 4th seed.
Okay, right. That's right. That's correct. I forgot about that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting matchup. As much as we make fun of, like, everything that has to do with hockey and opposing teams, sometimes you got to throw the credit out. And that guy, Blaisma, is one hell of a coach. I mean, he's able to take what he's got and make the most of it, and that is a sign. I mean, they have had, they've had Letang out for times that they have Crosby to deal with. They make the James Neal trade. He's turned out really well for them.
know, they've been able to do it. And, you know, listen, but I want the Rangers to finish in first place. I know this is what everybody wants. What we get is a different story, but I would really like to see the Rangers finish strong. I think it's really going to be the telltale sign of how they play in the playoffs. So I agree with you. I think these the Pittsburgh game and the next, you know, the next coming up games, you know, the 14 games or what have you, it's really going to give us the style or the manner in which they play.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, too, you know, and everybody liked the way Zuccarello looked yesterday on the power play, and props to him, okay. He's made for the power play because he's a playmaker. He's not a sniper. Remember, we said that last year. You know, he's a playmaker because he's always on the corners, on the net, and the Rangers really only true snipers, Gabrick, and you saw him, you know, score yesterday. I mean, Brad Ridges, it's so funny to hear last night, he's never had a hat trick, and the guy he's never been a 30-goal scorer. But look at the kind of shot the guy has. I mean, it's surprising, isn't it? But he's always been a playmaker. So there's not enough guys. And we've known that all year long. There's not enough guys there. But don't take him out of his role. People are now, I mean, hockey future boards are the most insane bunch of people in there. I would never even join that thing because I'd have too many arguments with these idiots. Now they want him on the first line with Gavrik and Richards. No. You got the guy being successful in a role. Yes, 5 minutes a night and on the power play and in a shootout. That's his role. That's his success. That's where he gets success in the NHL. I don't care what he does in the AHL. I don't care if he puts up 500 points in the AHL. He's not going to be a first-line 20 minutes a night forward. The guy plays his role fine. He gets 5 or 6 minutes a night on one of the lower lines on a regular shift. But on the power play, he comes out there because he can be creative on it. But that's his role. Don't take him out of the role and try to make him something that he's not, and then all of a sudden we lose that kind of role. Because that's really what happened to him towards the end of last year, I think.
Well, listen, people go nuts. First of all, he's European. He's just got a skill set. So right over there, you know, he's overvalued. You know, people just flip out over those type of guys. He's very creative. My thing is, yes, keep him where he is. The problem is make him earn it. Last year, I think it was a little easy to earn because, frankly, we had less offense last year. I think, even though, if you look at it, maybe we don't. I mean, I guess Gabrick and Callahan are having better seasons than they had last year, but with Dubinsky, you know, his lackluster season. If he earns it by playing well and scoring in his limited role, I have no problem with him moving up. Just over one game against the Islanders on a 4-on-3 and some good passes, I don't want to be like, all right, he's got to move up to the second line. We could have two scoring lines. I'm not going into that mentality right away. I'm going into earn it. I want to see it. I don't want to see the same guy I saw last year win 18 games and didn't score a goal. You know, I was the one saying last week, bring him up, let him play, let him earn it. People are like, oh, well, he's only going to get 4 minutes on the fourth line. It's not worth it. Well, last night we found out that it is worth it because the power play looked dramatically different. He looked good out there. I think
One of his early shifts, he drew a penalty also.
His first shift,
right.
Maybe his first shift.
But he is. But I just feel you're going to go ahead and you give him more of a role. I know that if he earns it, but my problem is with Zuccarello. And look, everybody wants to compare the next short guy in the league to Marty St. Louis, but Marty St. Louis is the exception. Role at that size. This guy, when it comes to playing the tougher games against the bigger teams, he will be eliminated if he gets more ice time. If he plays against teams that purely skate and don't bang, you know, if he would have played against Ottawa, that might have been a better team for him to play against. Even the Hawks, they're not as physical as they used to be. But you're going to put him against the Flyers. If you're going to put him against even, you know, it'll be very interesting to see how he plays against Pittsburgh on Thursday, because they can bang as well. They got some bigger players there too. So I think he gets lost in the shuffle against the more physical teams. And of course, it's only going to get more physical from here on out through the rest of the season and the playoffs. So I just fear taking him out of the role that he's being successful, giving him more. If he doesn't have success there, it'll affect other parts of his game.
Could be, could be. I still think, you know, I still think he's got the potential to move up. I don't think it matters team by team. I mean, he had 23 points in 42 games last year. I'm looking at it here. I mean, he was able to put the puck in the net, and then he went into that bad stretch. And then he found himself not playing as much. And we'll see. I'm not writing him off. He might be the right spark plug. And I'm not saying for the future, because I think at the end of the year he's unrestricted, isn't he? And but he might be that spark plug, that guy like a Ville Leino type that spark plugged the Flyers 2 years ago, where it's just a guy that comes in, gets on a streak, turns the team around, and puts, you know, becomes somewhat of a force. They needed some kind of injection. This is why I felt like this decision was made too late. I think this could have been done. Bring a fresh face up there that's not a defensive dude, just to get things a little bit different.
Well, I think on the two lines you need at least somebody who's going to be able to get, you know, some offensive talents going. It's nice to have all the Boyle, Prust, you know, Fedotenko line or anything like that are going to grind, but
they're
not going to be a threat.
And then it gets repetitive on the fourth line if you've got Rupp, Mitchell, and John Scott. I mean, that, to me, Mitchell with Rupp and Zuccarello makes a hell of a lot more sense to me, because Mitchell's got a little bit of offense. He's not stellar. Rupp, although he hasn't been scoring, and I really think that knee is bothering him really badly. But at least I got Rupp grinding. I've got Mitchell who'll cycle and can create a play, and if he ever decides to hit the net, he can score a little bit. And Zuccarello, give me a little bit of a smattering of all three kind of type players, rather than another third copycat of the third line.
I agree. I think actually even with those big guys, he could get a little bit more room on the ice too. If he's going to be matched up against other teams' fourth lines, let's say if you match him against the other team's fourth lines at home or something along those lines, that he can exploit, you know, the weaknesses of other teams and things like that. But, yeah, I agree with that. That's why I think he can thrive in that fourth line role. I'd have to see a lot more out of Zouk to be able to tell me that he's going to be anything more than a 5 to 6 minute guy on a nightly basis in the NHL.
I agree. I live with that, but you know, you can't blame a Ranger fan for hoping that he does better than that. But
sure.
But you can blame them for saying, listen, he should have been on our second line all year. We would have won.
Yeah.
You know, 20 more games, you know, whatever, 15 more games. I mean, it's a little, that gets nonsensical.
Those are the guys that want to sign Parento in the offseason.
I don't want that piece of garbage. Zach Parise, baby, that's who I want.
Andrew Cugliano. Dale Weissy.
Callahan and Delzato didn't practice again today. Looks like they're going to sit out another night.
I think that Callahan injury is bad.
I got a feeling you might be right.
I mean, because when he came back, it wasn't the same. There was no hitting. Just didn't see him. Although he did score a goal, was it against Carolina? I think it was.
Yeah,
real nice goal. And the Rangers are the team. He kind of sets the tone for the Rangers. If he's hitting, the Rangers then start to hit. That's another thing I think that's missing. We kind of got stuck in where we were fighting more than we were hitting, and now I think we need to get back to more of a hitting team. That third line has got to hit. I think there are a lot of Rangers banged up because basically this is the way they play. But you got to play through this. I mean, they're not the first team to
to, you know, have bumps and bruises and, you know, continue to win, you know. So I think Zuccarello right now is just what the doctor ordered. Thank God it wasn't Chris Newberry, because I know, Jim, you love Chris Newberry.
Oh, my God. Told you, I would have lost my shit. Now, Larry Brooks suggested, and I said this the other day in our Facebook group, so he's probably stalking that too, that they should bring up Erickson. Get some fresh legs on defense. What do you think about that?
I like it. I like Tim Erickson. Now, I don't want to cause an uproar. I don't think there would be an uproar. Stu Bickle, to me, is okay and has been played admirably. But I don't know. I just – but then again, with Tim Erickson, I don't know what their thinking is. Listen, let's get him adapted to the – so, you know, they want to, you know, have his development in Connecticut and not rush him and, you know, acclimated to the North American rank or whatever their thinking is. But I would like Tim Erickson up here. I think Tim Erickson but Bickle, you know, Torts loves Bickle. Bickle brings that edge, and, you know, he's got that jam.
That's my problem with Torts, is he loves too many guys without a lot of hockey skill.
Yeah, he doesn't like guys with skill. And the guys that don't hit and don't get involved, they find themselves first to be benched. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you could even go with Artemon Isimov. I mean, the guy is a good hockey player. He's a great, very good two-way player. But he's not a hitter. He's not a guy who's going to get in your face. Doesn't throw his weight. And he's slim, but he's tall. He's lanky, but he doesn't throw the body. And when Artie doesn't play well, or Artie makes a mistake, it chaps out Bow Wow. But I think in the last couple of games, I think we've seen Artemon Isimov, what he can do offensively. If he's given the chance, I mean, he's coming up with some good shots, scored some nice goals. You know, he's got to get more. His thing is confidence. You know, and I know we don't want one of these guys, but all you do is got to give him some confidence. I think that really works. But when he loses it, it's over. It's like Calvin Schiraldi.
Calvin Schiraldi.
I don't know where I pulled that one from.
Nice.
But that's where I stand on that. All right, so Jim, what do you got going on?
We got another phone call, and let's see. I don't know who this is. Mandar, are you going to stay on with us?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. 631-678. You're on Blue Shirt Underground. Who's this?
Hi, boys. It's Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
Oh, it's Tanya.
It's Tanya. Yes, from the Underground.
Yes.
I just wanted to relate. I wanted to relate to you some tales from inside the garden.
Uh-oh.
Last night at the game, something came over me. I've been very angry lately. Something happened that was very untoward, unladylike, uncouth, foul-mouthed, and it came from me. I was sitting there, and when the Islanders scored their goal, the first goal, someone did one of those stupid-ass chants like they do at the mausoleum. Somebody went, woo, like that. Well, I stood up and I said, who did that? I stood up in the middle of the section and I said, who did that? And this kid, like these kids sitting next to us, this kid was like 3 seats away from me. They were Ranger fans. They pointed to him. The kid had an Islander cap on backwards. I said, look, you. You can do that out at the mausoleum, but this is our house. You shut the fuck, and you don't do that kind of shit in our house. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs like a maniac, and the guys on the other side of the section started to chant, Margaret, Margaret, Margaret. And my poor husband thought that somebody with some Islander fan was going to kill him. It was just insanity at the Garden last night.
This was Margaret at the Garden last night.
Dude! Fuck
with me, fellas!
Actually,
you want to know?
Time at the rodeo.
You actually want to know what I was saying last night at the Garden, not to the Islander fan? I screamed out, Brian Boyle, you're a piece of shit. Go back to Boston College.
Wow.
Yeah, when he didn't take the freaking shot. God damn it. You know, what is he there for? Get a brain.
What did you say?
Penalties.
What did you say?
I just get I'm sorry.
Martin, go ahead, Mando.
He tied the game up. What did you say?
I know that, but it doesn't excuse the other stupid shit he does.
I'm just wondering what you said after he tied the game.
That was completely accidental, by the way, him having a stick anywhere near that puck.
He seemed to be more of a thinker than I am.
I don't know. I just watch stuff, and I'm like, it's beyond belief. And the shoot test, come on. 18,000 people are not wrong. Take the freaking shot.
Now, what was the there were some Islander fans in attendance. What was the split?
I would say 18,199 to 1.
The one guy that you totally lit up.
Two of them they showed on TV.
He started the freaking woo chant, and I was like, I'm not taking that shit. No, it's stupid nonsense.
After the Islanders took the lead for the last time, there was some little kid, real little, maybe like 5 or 6 years old, down by the glass, and he was on the you saw him on the replay. Like he stood up and was yelling, and poor kid in a DiPietro jersey. I mean, this kid doesn't stand a chance in life now.
Yeah. Anybody that brings up their kid as an Islander fan should be put away for child abuse. Terrible. Great.
Oh, don't make that joke. I made that joke on one of my Ranger Crisis thing, and I was called the worst blogger of all time.
It ended a friendship.
Bring it on.
It ended a 17-year friendship, that phrase.
It did.
Yeah. The kid that was sitting next to me that did the woo thing, actually by the end of the game we were talking to each other, we shook hands when he left and everything. He was a nice enough kid, but it just pissed me off. The other thing I wanted to reveal to you, Tales of Inside the Garden, is the reaction to the new seating assignments for the subscribers. And this is what is going on. It seems that the new upper bowl will only contain so many sections, and section 409, all the subscribers up there, are basically lock, stock, and barrel being moved to those crazy seats that hang off of the new West Terrace.
Yeah,
and of course, they're not getting the $47 seats. They're getting the $64 seats. And a lot of people are very pissed off and may not re-up, because think about how expensive that is for a full season for one ticket, no less two if you got two. There's a lot of unhappy campers up there, and I'm like saying, why the hell are people in 408 getting to stay over here, but 409... They're moving around. They're splitting everybody up and putting them up on the West Terrace. And I think I know the answer. They don't like the people in 409 because they're the people who initiate the Homo Larry chants and other things. But, you know, if they split everybody up there, then there's not going to be a balloon drop anymore either. So screw them.
Well, Margo, I have you in a fine mood. Let me ask you this as well. Where does the Shut Up Micheletti chant? Who does that? What section does that?
That's 409. That's the guys on the other side of the section. I won't mention any names. They know who they are. I love them to death. One of the guys called me Mom. Hey, Mom, how you doing?
Well, they get Ranger Fan Section of the Year, 409, because anybody does the Shut Up Micheletti chant is okay with me. But, Margaret, you must find your only mission in life for this organization that we call Blue Shirt Underground Radio is to find the idiot that is still doing that Pop and Sucks chant. Who's initiating.
They're at 409, too.
Oh, well, then move them.
It's all happening in 409, guys. The Shut Up and let me tell you how that works, okay? There's a countdown. One of the guys does a countdown. At 10 minutes into the period, the Shut Up Micheletti happens, and it's about eight guys. They scream it out. The Pop and Sucks happens all over the arena. I mean, it happens in 409, but I've heard it other places. And it's only appropriate when Dennis Podvin is in the building or when the Rangers play the Islanders. It's not popular.
I agree.
It's not appropriate under any other circumstance.
I agree wholeheartedly.
And I think that they should, you know, take the Podfin sucks and, you know, Crosby sucks. And it's my last order of business here. I am going to channel my inner Reggie Dunlop and put a bounty. Anybody who goes and takes the body, I'm not talking about elbowing or any cheap shot crap. I want the Rangers to lay the body on Malkin and Crosby. I want them to cringe at the idea of touching the puck, just like they should do to Tavares, and they never do it. They need to lay the body on him. And, you know, if they don't, if they puss out, I don't know what to think anymore, because typically Pittsburgh is going to put Crosby in his first game back against the Rangers. Why? Because they're only 4 points behind us, and they figure the Rangers want the points so they can do whatever they want, and they usually get away with everything. So I think if things start to go south in that game and the calls are really atrocious and, you know, Malkin and his little friends are slew-footing people and stuff, I think it should be just let it rip. Just go after them. Really just start slamming them. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd like to see some hitting and then maybe tune those guys up physically. They need to do that.
You were talking about hitting before, the lack of hitting?
Yes, I felt that that's been waning in the last few, you know, four, five, six games.
Well, and how many games have they lost in those four, five, six games?
Probably four.
Yeah, and so the thing is, when you're tired, when you're exhausted, when you're hurt, you're not hitting anybody. And that's a function of not being injured.
I think it's also a function of Ryan Callahan not being in the lineup, because he kind of, you know, he's the guy who inspires people to hit and does a lot of hitting himself. You know, we'll see, Margaret. You had a lot on the docket tonight here in the order of business.
I'm very angry, boys. I'm angry.
Well, don't be so angry.
An old angry woman.
And they're calling your mom in 409. So they do the Mick Galletti chant 10 minutes into every period?
Every period. As soon as the clock approaches the 10-minute mark, you hear 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Shut up, Mick Galletti! Isn't that awesome?
That's great. Because I've heard it a couple times, and I've never known when to do it. And I want to join in when I go. So now
I
know.
Great. It's great. Listen, you guys, you take care.
Yes.
My next game is on St. Patrick's Day. It's gonna be chaos in there. I think on St. Patty's. I'm spending the entire day in Manhattan, going to the parade. I'm gonna wear my green Ranger shirt, and gonna hit the Molly Wee for dinner.
Oh.
Irish soul food. And it's gonna be a great day to be Irish and a great day to be a Ranger fan.
Yeah, and have the Cobb salad for me.
Have the Cobb salad. That's all I can eat. I can't have the French fries anymore. I got to lose more weight.
Well, listen, you look fine. And thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Take care, boys.
Good night, Margaret. Thank you.
Hi, everybody.
The one and only Margaret Hurley. Frankie just posted 6 paragraphs on my Facebook wall.
He's not insane.
He's a crackpot. All right, 646-478-4692 is the number if you guys want to call in. Now is the time, because I think we're just about done.
Yeah.
What do you think, Edward?
No. So what else we got, Robin? We have any more callers? Nope.
I think that's it. And we'll come back Wednesday night for an hour. Just like we did last week.
Okay, now what do we got upcoming on the schedule here?
All right, we got the Hurricanes tomorrow night. Penguins Thursday.
You want to do the win? You want to do the win loss game?
Sure.
Okay.
Hurricanes tomorrow night. That game is on NBC Sports Network, which means I won't be. I won't have the pleasure of listening to Sam and Joe.
Oh man.
Thursday night's game is on NHL Network. You know what that means, right?
I don't know.
Pittsburgh feed. It's not on center ice. It'll be blacked out. And NHL Network never gets the MSG feed. I don't know if that's a money thing. I don't know if that's a
we don't stand get it here.
A standoff thing with the Dolans, but the NHL Network does not. They never take the MSG feed. It's always the opposition feed.
That's so true.
Oh.
I know. It's brutal.
They are just awful. And if Crosby comes back Thursday night, I'm gonna have to watch the game muted. I'm gonna
by
have
your
to.
Wall.
I'll have to see if I can link, get the radio broadcast or something, and try and link it up, or maybe find the MSG feed online illegally or something. I'll figure something out.
I always had that. I want to throw this out there. So basically, we have some time to kill. I always thought it would be a great thing. Like, all right, so you're stuck with the feed of the Pittsburgh, right? But shouldn't there be, in this day, I mean, day and age, it's 2012, shouldn't there be an option what audio you can listen to? Like, you can listen to the other team's announcers, just the audio portion. Their radio, you know, you can get their radio broadcast, your team's radio broadcast. Can't you just hit a button and just, you know, kind of scroll down, click, and bam? Somebody should invent that.
Yeah, you would think so.
I'm just riffing here, you know. But, all right, here we go. I'm going to go with Jim and Mandar in the chat room. You go with me. Hurricanes, tomorrow night, NBC Sports.
They're going to win tomorrow night.
Have they penciled in a goalie? Is that going to be a Biron start?
Jeez, I hope not.
Well, then, if he plays Biron against Pittsburgh.
No, they're not going to play Biron against Pittsburgh. Biron will get to start Saturday against the Avalanche.
All right. So you got them beating the Hurricanes.
Yes, sir.
We'll get his obligatory goal. We'll hear Eric Staal and Mark Staal of Brothers.
Yes.
You know, that'll be one of the storylines. And how Jamie McBain also went to the University of Wisconsin along with Eric Stepan and Ryan McDonough. Now, Rangers-Penguins, this is a game, a watermark game, stated by Mandar. What are you guys saying on this? You got to be realistic. Can't be win.
They're going to win.
Mandar?
I give them the win in that one.
Here, let me make this easy for you. The Rangers will not lose until next Wednesday night against the Red Wings. That's my prediction.
So you got them beating the Devils.
Yes.
The Devils have owned us of late.
Well, that's got to change. Rangers are – this is the beginning of a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have confidence.
Okay. I personally think we will lose against the Penguins, beat the Avalanche, beat the Devils, lose to the Red Wings. That's what I got.
And see, I'm gonna say that they're gonna lose in Pittsburgh, the last game or the next to last game of the season. So I got them winning tomorrow. I got them winning this week. I'm gonna split the last two.
Okay. And you're saying Biron doesn't play till the Avalanche. Biron.
That's my guess.
I say Biron plays in all the games you really care about, which are the Penguins, the Devils.
Just be glad I don't have tickets for any remaining Ranger games, or else Biron would play all of them. If I had season tickets, Biron would play 40 or 50 games a year.
A lot of people saying running the table, Yogs 94, saying it, Mets and Grets, Carolina win, Pittsburgh win, Colorado win, New Jersey lose. A lot of these people.
You know, I'm looking at the schedule here. Tomorrow's on NBC Sports Network. Thursday's on NHL Network. Saturday they're on MSG. Monday against the Devils is on NBC Sports Network. Wednesday against the Red Wings is on NBC Sports Network. Next Friday's MSG. Then Saturday against the Maple Leafs is NHL Network. Tuesday is MSG. Wednesday against the Jets, March 28th, that's on MSG. Then the Canadiens is on NHL Network.
Oh boy, you're getting hammered.
Sunday, April 1st is on NBC. I've got precious few games left with Sam and Joe.
Shut up, Micheletti. Yeah,
I've only got about five games left with those two.
Are you going to tweet now, shut up, Micheletti, at every 10-minute mark?
Do that anyway. Well, not at the 10-minute mark, but I do. I make fun of him all game long.
I wonder if they actually know how much we really think they are bad. Like, I know there are fans who think they're good, but they're just so bad. I wonder if they'll ever know how bad they are. Does anybody ever say, like, what are you talking about? You know, Brett Connolly has shown that he can play. They want him to play. He's shown to play. He can play in tough buildings. What the hell does that mean?
Eddie, where's that Dogovins clip you had?
That whole thing. We got that Dogovins thing. But, you know, really, I mean, they make some statements that just make no sense. And Sam.
Hello?
Hello?
Did we lose Eddie? Mandar, could you hear me?
Devil's got...
Here you are. I lost you.
Oh, me?
Yeah, I don't know if it was your signal or my signal, but all of a sudden you cut out. At least for me, you did. I could still hear Mandar, but I couldn't hear you. Nope. Now Eddie's gone. Mandar, are you still there?
I'm still here. I'm listening on the phone.
He must have lost his internet or something. Anyway, I have precious few games left. And I tweet, I mean, like I've said before, I tweet all game making fun of those two. It's pretty funny. Let me see if Eddie's back here. Oh, there he is. Did your internet cut out or something?
I don't know. I think it was a sign from God.
Oh, now we lost Mandar.
We better get out of here while we got a show. Boy, what a show.
Boy, what a show. Wow. Woo. Woo. This is like something together.
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We'll be back Wednesday at 8:30. We'll have one game under the books. I was thinking, Jim, maybe we'll play that some of that Chris Kreider interview. I was listening to it today, and it was pretty funny because you were being very professional, and then I just totally ruined it.
I was being professional?
Yeah, you had like a list of questions. Like, Chris, you definitely did not have the flow that you have now. You're like, Chris, what's the difference between playing in college and what you're doing in the World Juniors? If you can ask that.
Excuse me, Chris. Let me see here.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, I'm still doing like in the semi-mouth voice. So it's like, let me tell you something now, Chris. You're going to beat those damn Canadians and take the World Juniors back. That's the way it is. That's the way. He starts laughing. You start laughing. I totally ruined it with the whole shtick. But
Chris,
I think
some of your biggest influences.
Now, I know you grew up around Ray Bourque. I mean, Ryan Bourque. Did you guys ever talk to each other on the bench?
Well, you know what else was funny?
I don't know what he's talking about. Let me ask you something, Chris. How are the chicks in college?
Well, you know, if you remember, too, we did that show in, like, the middle of the afternoon. And I had all kinds of internet problems. We had just moved to Arizona, and we were staying with friends. And I was trying to find a secluded spot in these people's house where I could set up the show. And everything was going wrong. That was just a nightmare on my end.
And
it's not the smooth running broadcast that we have nowadays.
Oh no! And it sounds like we're talking on tin cups because I think we're both on like phones. And it sounds really like lo-fi. It's pretty good. So I think Wednesday I'll send you the clip of that and we can upload it.
Okay.
Or I'll upload a clip of some of the interview with Kreider and what he had to say before he became Rangers' hottest prospect. He was a hot prospect then. Now he's really hot.
Right. So. That was the World Junior Championships, right?
Right. That's the one they won, where I predicted on that show that they would win. I'm like, these Canadians, what do they know about hockey? he must have been like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
So,
and then one night, just for fun, maybe we'll do it over the summer. We'll pull the Ethan Werrick interview, because that was a fun. We had a lot of fun with him. It was very sad to see him get traded away. That was a fun interview. Remember, he told us that great story about how they pranked one of the guys on the team that carried his car downtown.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good guy, you know. But the Rangers, you know, whether it be, you know, we talk about how great they've done with the guys that they've kept. They've gotten rid of the guys that needed to go, that really hadn't progressed.
Right.
Roman Horik, who they gave up in the Erickson deal, didn't do all that well with Calgary. Maybe still too green, too soon to tell. And Werrick has been struggling as well. So these guys, they found that pretty early. They were not the guys that they were expected to. So.
Right.
All right, so we'll see you on Facebook. We'll see you on the Twitter at Ranger Crisis, Blue Shirt, BSU Radio Jim.
Yes, sir.
For Jim, and tell your friends all about the show, because it's a great show, great show.
And don't forget, you can find us on iTunes, Microsoft Zune, or you can download the show right off the Blog Talk Radio page. Take it with you. You can upload it to your phone. There's a Blog Talk Radio app for Android. I'm sure there's one for iTunes or for the iPhone as well. I don't know if there's one for BlackBerry, but I don't think anybody uses a BlackBerry anymore. So there's lots of ways to catch our old shows. We'll be back Wednesday night. We'll play some of that Kreider interview, and we'll see you guys then. Have a good night. Eddie, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.